Welcome to another episode of That's Some Crazy Shit with Kelly and James. My name is Kelly, and my co-host, who insists on being introduced, is Mr. James.
Yeah, it's me, Mr. James, people.
Right on!
Yeah.
It was no fun when you weren't introducing me.
James, it's so funny. He's like, I want to be introduced. Like, yeah, I said, I'll introduce you. Man. Yep, now you'll get an introduction. So, guess what?
I'm going to go with we got a guest.
You know what, James? You are like one of the smartest people I know.
I am.
100% right.
Quick as a whip or whatever that's the saying is.
But do you know who the guest is?
I don't know. It might, maybe.
Well, I will tell you.
All right, then.
Her name is Elizabeth Enten, and she wrote a book called What the Fuck Just Happened?
I love
it. A Sciencey Skeptic Explores Grief Healing and Evidence of an Afterlife. She also has a podcast that's called What the Fuck Just Happened, and it's also a podcast about the afterlife. So she is somebody who is not into the woo at all.
No woo.
She is not a woo. And she, you know, when her father passed away, she wanted to find out if there was an afterlife. So she went the scientific route to find out if there's really evidence of an afterlife.
And how often do we talk about people insisting on needing scientific proof? Well, here you go, people.
Yeah, and she's somebody that even her podcast is, you know, What the Fuck Just Happened? No evidence of the afterlife. No woo. So, yeah, I thought it was really interesting when somebody, because, you know, we're so used to the woo. It's very rare when somebody comes and backs it up with some science.
Yeah, see, it's all about the science, no woo.
Yep. Are you ready?
Oh, I thought we were recording. Oh, we are recording. Sorry. Let's do it. My bad.
Oh, my God, James. Are you here?
Yeah, you can edit this one.
I thought we were recording. Oh, we are recording. Yes, we're recording. I will edit this. Are you ready, James?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's bring her out. Welcome to the podcast. Author and fellow podcaster, Elizabeth Enten. Liz, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So we're excited because you wrote a book. Now, see if I get this title correct. What the fuck, or WTF, excuse me, just happened?
Is I say correct? What the fuck just happened.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how comfortable you were swearing. So can you tell us about that?
Sure. So the full title is called What the Fuck Just Happened? A Sciencey Skeptic Explores Grief, Healing, and Evidence of an Afterlife. And I was raised an atheist, culturally Jewish, but never believed in God. I actually still consider myself an atheist. But my dad passed away in 2015, and I wanted to see if there was any valid scientific data-based reason to think there possibly could be an afterlife. And, you know, nothing based on belief, nothing based on faith, was there actual evidence. And I really delved in and kind of was a desperate shot in the dark when I first delved in. Didn't think I was going to find anything, but I was really blown away and pretty much have changed my mind.
So, you know, did you think before being an atheist that when you died, that's just it? There's nothing, darkness, that's just the end.
No afterlife.
No nothing. Afterlife. No, I couldn't see how. You know, I thought consciousness was created by our brain neurons and brain cells, and when we died, that was it. And, you know, I think from our perspective, that is the most logical explanation if you don't know about all this research. So
what are some of the
go ahead James.
So what is some of the research that you found that might surprise people?
The very first was a researcher called Dr. Jim Tucker. He is a child psychiatrist who studies cases of kids with past life memories. He is part of the Division of Perceptual Studies at the University of Virginia. So there's a whole department at the University of Virginia which researches cases of kids with past life memories, near-death experiences. They even study psychic mediums. So even the fact that University of Virginia was doing this was really incredible to me. And then right. Dr. Tucker, yeah, he was a traditional child psychiatrist, is a traditional child psychiatrist, is a professor at the University of Virginia still, and he's researching cases of kids who make claims with past life memories. And he has a whole system where he researches and sees if they check out. And some of them have completely checked out and matched up with another life, and just were, I mean, how can you really explain that? And
right, huh?
So during, you know, when you first started this journey, like where did you start? Like, you know, you want to find out if this is real or not. You started, you know, where do you start? Besides Dr. Tucker, where else do you go?
So that was the very first thing I found. And it actually came from a thought of, so if our brain neurons create our consciousness once and we get to experience being a person one time, why down the line in 300 years or so could another set of brain neurons not create an experience where I got to experience consciousness as another human? It wouldn't be myself, wouldn't be karma based, but there's no reason I couldn't experience it. It wouldn't mean I'd get to be with my dad or anything again, but when your other thought is complete annihilation, it seems like a pretty sweet deal.
The alternative.
Yes, yes. So I guess finding Dr. Tucker is where I found, you know, the University of Virginia. And then I found researchers who were studying psychic mediums, such as Dr. Julie Beischel and her husband, Mark Bacuzzi, who are the founders of the Winbridge Institute. And I believe it's Dr. Ed Kelly at the University of Virginia is also studying mediums and their abilities. And they were doing up to quintuple blinded studies on mediums. And these mediums were getting accurate results, significantly accurate results. They weren't allowed to get general information like they loved you, you lost a grandmother, you know, to a 60-year-old woman. I mean, they couldn't even see who they were reading because the calls would be on the phone, in a lab, no ability to Google. In some of the studies, they couldn't even hear the sitter, the people who were getting the reading. They couldn't even hear their voices. They would hit buttons for yes, no, or maybe. So they just eliminated all ways that these mediums could get information through either cheating or unintentionally.
Even just sensory, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sensory. Mm-hmm. So, and they were getting some of them, not most, but some were getting, the ones they ended up certifying were getting, you know, knowing very specific details, memories, careers, age of the person when they died, relationship to the person, and just crazy things.
So in finding all of this, you know, diving into all of this research, what are you finding, like in the near-death experiences? Are you finding that a lot of things are common? People are saying the same things?
That is a huge part of it. So, you know, along with doing some of my own personal research, such as getting readings with near-death experiences and with kids with past life memories. I hate using the word reincarnation. It just sounds too spiritual, but... You know, with both of those, that's one of the things. There's just this remarkable consistency. So with near-death experiences, should I explain what they are? I don't know.
Yes,
you're right. Please do. Our audience, yeah.
Okay. So in near-death experiences, that is where a person is clinically dead, you know, and they're resuscitated in a hospital, and they report experiences, and they report being out of their body. They report a big consistency is seeing a tunnel. And the most interesting is they'll get information that's verified, what's called veridical information. And I'll just share what I think is a funny story about it, although some are more moving. They might hear their loved ones talking in another room or even talking at home while they're in the hospital and report back and it's verified. But here's one I just think is kind of funny. So there was a doctor, very overworked as doctors are, in the ER floor, and there was a patient. I might have the exact medical aspects wrong, but essentially they were very ill. They went into cardiac arrest, passed away. During this time, the doctor's making the rounds. This patient's barely conscious, and they, you know, the rotations are bringing in the food for the patients, and the doctor's like, this patient's not going to eat. And the doctor was exhausted, hadn't had a chance to eat, gobbled this patient's sandwich. The patient goes into cardiac arrest and is resuscitated. And when the patient was resuscitated, he teased the doctor and was like, why'd you steal my sandwich? What was that about?
What was up about that? That's probably what brought him back. He was mad.
Right. Like, what the fuck? That's my sandwich. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. That's one of the more fun ones. And there are ones that are a lot more moving, such as, you know, one of the main researchers, Dr. Bruce Grayson, had a lot of experiences, and he has a great book about them. But one that was, you know, very sad and moving was a young nurse was taking care of a very ill patient. I believe it was a man. And this man passes away and is resuscitated. And during his near-death experience, he sees loved ones who've passed away, which is a consistency. And he sees this young nurse, and he's really confused why she's there. And he's resuscitated, and he shares this story with the hospital. And it turned out she'd had an accident that weekend. It was her 23rd birthday. I mean, just very sad. And her parents had bought her a new car for her birthday. And actually, during the near-death experience, she had said to him something along the lines of, tell my parents thank you for the car, and describe the car. So that was very, very
wow. Wow. Yeah. So what compelled you to write the book? I mean, we get why you're going on the journey to get answers about your dad and kind of really figure this out, but you know, what compelled you to like put it in a book?
Well, first I just started like blogging it or journaling it for myself. It was just so much to process. And at this time I was very, very depressed and very early grief. And I noticed that was something I enjoyed doing. And in the first year after losing my dad, I really didn't enjoy doing very much. And it was very cathartic. And I also noticed that just finding voices that I could relate to during my grief, logical ones that said there is hope of an afterlife, didn't talk about faith, didn't talk about believe this, but gave the facts in a really relatable way, there wasn't that much of that. And so I thought, well, maybe I would just blog. And I was like, this is so weird. I'm going to do this anonymously. I'm never telling anybody. And so I did like these super disguised blogs, and maybe like 5 people read. And then just one thing led to another, and I was writing more, and some people were like, you should put this into a book. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it anonymous. And again, it didn't have much. A big part of the personality was missing when everything was so disguised. So I was like, I just have to dive in and do it, you know. So that's how
head first.
Yeah,
absolutely. So knowing now that there's the possibility of an afterlife, how did that mess with like your core belief, something that you believed all your life, and now all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, it's possible? I mean, is that something that's hard to come to grips with, or were you like happy to find out? Or I mean, you know what I mean, your belief is kind of shattered, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best thing. It'd be like the only thing I can compare it with would be like if you woke up and out of nowhere someone's like, oh, some person, random person made $1 billion deposit into your bank account, like your life changes.
Right on.
Drastically, but for the better. Like, this is so much better than anything I could have ever fathomed. And I mean, it's still definite doubts. Like, if someone's like, oh, someone deposited $1 billion into your account, your first thought would be like, yeah, right. And then you would think, okay, I'm being punked. And then you would, you know, I mean, it would not just be like, they did, oh great, now I'm gonna go like change my life. I'm just go through a lot of stages of not believing and being like, okay, what's the consequences, is this like, you know. So but I can't think of anything really better than going from thinking we're annihilated to thinking there's an afterlife. So it's just been wonderful. It's very healing. There's still days where I'm like, oh, I must be missing the catch. How could this work, really? Or physics is going to be able to explain this stuff that mm-hmm. I've seen happen that's absolutely inexplicable, and there'll be a logical explanation that is not survival of consciousness, and that's hard, but you know, I still think as of now it really seems that the most likely explanation is that we do survive. Like, one of the things I think I hadn't even thought of it as a belief, there are certain beliefs that are so embedded you just think that's how it is, you don't even think of them as beliefs. And one thing I kind of came to realize was a belief, and is that how does the material matter that makes up a brain, it's completely non-conscious, how does it suddenly just go create consciousness? So that's just as hard to believe and just as inexplicable and just as large a mystery as thinking that there is some form of consciousness in a type of molecular structure, atomic, those probably aren't even the right words for it, but those are the best words we have now, some non-local atomic structure that some machine more sophisticated than the Large Hadron Collider will be able to explain maybe in 1,000 years, and that consciousness continues for ideally eternally, maybe a set period of time, and is downloaded by these brain cells. That's just as likely an explanation, and that was a big thing for me to realize too.
So Liz, how do you approach a skeptic with the proof? And have you ever had someone who just looked at the proof and still would not think this was possible?
Oh yeah. I mean, first of all, I don't like the word proof. I'd say it's preponderance of evidence. I don't know if we're ever gonna have proof. Like, I wish we had proof, but I think different people approach it differently depending on their skepticism. I mean, if there's someone who, like me early on, who was just like, this makes no sense, like how could this be, but I'm in deep grief and I really want to learn. Or, you know, I've met some people who maybe are dealing with their own mortality who are sick, who are just like, how could this make sense? That's a very different type of conversation than someone who's like, kind of has like a snideness to it, like, oh, see, this is such bullshit. And I'll talk to them and I'll say, you know, I'd be curious if you really delved in. I have noticed that most of them, or I actually have not met one who has delved in very deeply with the type of research at Winbridge, at University of Virginia. I've met skeptics who are absolutely don't believe this, but when I've spoken with them and I said, but did you get medium readings with like this set of science-based mediums? No, they haven't. They maybe have gone and exposed mediums that I would agree are frauds. You know, they've gone and exposed ghost hunts that are fake, and I think they're doing good work. They're exposing fraud, but I would be very curious what would happen if they, you know, really delved in. It doesn't mean just reading one quintuple blinded study or any of the blinded studies one time. It takes really delving into this whole body of research. So, you know, I haven't met someone who thinks this is all fake who has delved in. There are some people who think the answer is not the afterlife and that it will never be survival of consciousness, but they do admit this phenomenon is happening and it's inexplicable, but they said what I mentioned in the beginning would be the one thing that I still fear, is that there's going to be a normal answer that physics comes up with that explains it all. So, and they think that will be the answer, and that's fine. I mean, they're still saying this data happened.
But now that you've figured out that there, you know, or you kind of believe that there's an afterlife, don't you ever wonder like where that afterlife is, or where you go, or what happens, or?
Oh my God, yes, that's the question. That's like, all the time.
You know, like, and how do you get, you know, that's the information. It's like, and is that truly tied to faith, right? Is it really, and I always wonder, is it really religion or is it just a place? And why do we tie it to religion? Is it just something that is? It has nothing to do with religion. It wouldn't matter if you were good or bad, you're still going to this afterlife.
I think religion has nothing to do with it whatsoever. I think it's completely irrelevant to this question. It's just a story. I mean, no disrespect to anyone who believes, but just from where I'm coming from, it's just like fables, and it's irrelevant to the conversation in my mind. And I think Yeah, I mean, I always wonder, like, what is the substance that our consciousness is made of? How does it download? And I do hear with near-death experience, one consistency is a life review. And people who've done, you know, bad face just the emotions of just that shame of being like, oh God, I did that. And that seems to be a consistency in life review. And what seems to happen after that is, you know, they seem to go to another dimension. I would think most likely it would tie into string theory in some way that we haven't even, some advanced version of string theory, right, that we're not even close to understanding yet, but
that we can't even begin to comprehend. And right. So now it becomes right. A lot more science, right? Because now you're talking about dimensions and all these
maybe frequencies
and traveling and different forms of consciousness, different levels of consciousness. And now you're going more into science than moving away from the whole religious aspect, right?
But
most people would take it there for their near-death experience, right? So I like how you put the science behind it, because it, for those who are not religious, you know, it now gives you something to really think about. And if you're curious, make you go research it to find out for yourself, right? And really determine what you believe.
Right. Yeah, that's, I do hope everyone, I mean, that is one of the goals in my book is if I was to write all the details of everything, it would have been like, you know, a 10,000 page book. So I do.
You know, and so now, is there going to be like a follow-up book for you? Is this it? Are you working on maybe a continuation of your journey?
I am, because it ends at a time that feels so long ago to me, and so much more has happened. So I'm writing What the Fuck Part 2. I think there'll probably be a What the Fuck Part 3. There's also a podcast. Just a whole lot of fuck, like 20,
one day, who knows? So have you had in contacting mediums, have you ever had them try to contact like your dad or anything like that? And what were your experiences with that?
Oh my God. Yes, I've had multiple medium readings, and yeah, not all. Some were terrible, but some absolutely knew things they could not have known. They contacted my dad. They got contacted my grandma. They got some of them, because I will score them afterwards. Some get up to 80% right. And
wow.
Yeah. And they've known names. One interesting thing is there's been consistencies. The majority of mediums that were good said my dad was greeted by his mother, and they consistently say that. Consistently, my other grandma has come in first. Not all the time, but with a large consistency, with one even getting her name. I hide my information. I'm not like, hi, this is Elizabeth Enton, here's my credit card. Like, I give a fake name, fake email, Google Voice. A lot of them are on the phone if they're in person. I mean, they'll be able to read my face, but like when I pay, I have a friend pay, not a family member. I've gone through every protocol. Like one place I actually volunteer with that does a lot of this research and certifies mediums is called the Forever Family Foundation. And they actually teased me because there were two mediums I went to that required paper be sent in. One wants you to fill out a form and the other still wants like a paper payment. And I wore rubber gloves. I was like, what if they have some fingerprint machine? You never know.
Right. Yeah, you never know anymore. You really don't.
Wow.
So Liz, you know, you seem like a very open-minded person to be, you know, researching this and to come on the show. So I have to ask you now, if there was a paranormal experience outside near death, would you like to see something else like a UFO or Bigfoot or something like that?
Yeah, I would. Except interestingly, I will say if there was a Bigfoot, that wouldn't be paranormal. That would be discovering a new species.
Right, right.
And UFO, I actually don't think that'd be paranormal. It'd be really hard to not think there's life on other gold, what are referred to as the Goldilocks planets. Our universe is vast.
Yeah. So right.
That just seems like those would be normal material. So I wouldn't really classify either of those as paranormal, but I've never seen any evidence of Bigfoot. I'm convinced there's life on other planets. Have they come here? Like, I there's been interesting talks about it. I haven't done enough research to be able to say anything other than I know this woman, Leslie Kane, writes about it. She was a New York Times journalist. She's very smart and she has very interesting takes on that. So.
She's the one who broke the story about the gimbal video and the 8-tit program, wasn't she?
Yes, that was her, definitely. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, you know, James, that how you know you're the first person that have said Bigfoot is not paranormal, right? You're also the first person that's really said that UFOs would not be considered paranormal, you know, which makes me wonder, you know, would you consider ghost paranormal or just simply another dimension?
Well, as of now, I think from what I understand, paranormal just means we don't really understand it yet. But I would say ghosts fall into, because that's other dimensions of consciousness that are not part of our normal material world. Mm-hmm. But Bigfoot would just be like another type of like
species, you're saying?
Species. No. Yeah. Yeah. We discover new species all the time. It's
just, right.
I've never seen evidence of Bigfoot that it's valid. Like, I would be pretty surprised, but yeah, I mean, we discover new species regularly.
Well, so. Kelly and I have talked about this, you know, about what people consider, I'm going to steal your phrase, another preponderance of evidence when it comes to Bigfoot, because they have fingerprints that an FBI, former FBI, or someone who worked with the FBI, said they were primate. They have DNA they've taken that's not classified because they haven't found the species yet. So there's stuff out there, but people need, you know, they're going to need more too to really convince a lot of people.
They're going to need actual seeing, believing proof, James.
Yeah, they're going to need some kind of specimen, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know nothing about it to have enough of an opinion, so I just sort of dismiss it.
So. Well, hopefully you're like, oh, well, maybe I'll go see what James is talking about.
Yeah, I'm open to anything. I feel like everything that is over the millennia of science that was considered fact always ends up being disproven. Now, that doesn't mean you dismiss science. I think, you know, science is the best answers that we have today, and that's going to be the right path to figure things out. But, you know, I mean, we thought we knew everything 200 years ago. It's just constantly evolving.
Yeah, we're constantly learning as well. So I think have to have an open mind.
And I thought I knew everything when I was 16.
Yeah, well, didn't we all?
Yes, that's very true.
So Liz, where is your book available?
You can go to my website, which is WTFjustHappened.net. And there you can link to Amazon. It's currently just available on Amazon, but down the line it could be available elsewhere, which I'll always link to my website. And you can also link to my podcast there too.
So you mentioned the podcast. So tell us about the podcast.
Yeah, it's also called What the Fuck Just Happened, but WTF Just Happened, all about the afterlife, no woo. And I interview a lot of the...
I love it.
I interview... psychic mediums. I interview some of the researchers, some of the people who really made a difference in my life. I'll also have people share some personal experiences, but they need to be verified. Someone can't just say, I felt my loved one around me. It needs to be, I felt my loved one around me. They told me X, Y, Z that I didn't know. And then it turned out to be true. So, you know, it needs to have a form of verification. And then, yeah, all different researchers. I have some parapsychologists on it, some near-death experience researchers. It's very cool. Fun getting to talk to those people.
Very, very cool. Thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing with us. I think me and James have, you know, talked about near death before. So it's really refreshing to talk to somebody who really comes on and kind of is into the science part of it. You know, and diving in. And so, you know, when you get that second and third book, you know, please let us know. Come back. Love to hear about the continuation of your journey.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.
So there you go, people. You wanted scientific proof? Well, we found it for you. We brought it to you. If you don't believe us, go look up all these studies she's talking about.
Yeah, go get her book. Her book is on Amazon. It's actually titled WTF Just Happened, but you know, WTF, what the fuck just happened. A Sciencey Skeptic explores grief, healing, and evidence of the afterlife. It's available on Amazon. You can get it. You can go check out all the researchers. She dropped a bunch of researchers that, you know, were looking for scientific evidence as well. And then she really started following them as well. So, and then, you know, just even her, somebody who's a skeptic, who's even willing to sit down in front of a psychic, that says something.
Yeah, that does.
But she goes about it in a much different way. Because she scores them.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, she goes about it in a much different way. So
a very scientific way.
A very scientific way. And some she has found to be totally fraud, and some she's found to be totally accurate. And I think...
Would you say 80%?
Yeah, I think you'll find a lot of that with psychics. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I think a lot of the psychics, if not all the psychics we've talked to, have been psychic. But I believe there's people out there who are not, who say they are. Sure there are.
Oh yeah.
You know, sure there are. So I like the fact that she goes into it still with a scientific hat on.
Yeah.
A lot of us will go to a psychic, you know, really looking for the woo.
Yeah, right? If you go in there already prejudiced to what your opinion's going to be, you're going to find what you're looking for.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Very cool, though. Very cool.
That was cool.
All right. Ready for some random bullshit?
What do you got?
I don't have anything. I thought maybe you did. Go!
Well, you okay, well, let's piggyback off this. So now that we got scientific proof of the afterlife, all right, so does that mean that there's reincarnation?
Oh, that is a good question.
See, I can come up with some. But
didn't
stuff.
She say, wouldn't that be reincarnation? Because didn't she talk about the researcher who did the children who remember past lives?
Past lives.
Isn't that basically reincarnation?
Yes.
There you go. Then you've answered your own question.
See, that's where I call you the voice of reason. You always get me to slow down to find the answer.
I mean, because she had talked about that. And if you can remember a past life and you're here now.
Do you remember past life?
I do not. If I do, I've never really tried, you know, so no. I don't necessarily remember a past life.
You've never wondered about some of the past lives that we've shared?
Yes, I have wondered about them, but do I remember any of them? No, I do not. But have I wondered about them when people have told them about us? Yeah, all the time.
Have you ever sat down and tried to pick up one of our past lives together?
I have not. I've never gone there, no.
We should probably do like a group meditation thing and see if we come up with the same. You meditate at your location a certain time, and then I'll do it at my location at the same time. And we'll both see if what we write down what we see, and then we'll compare.
Huh, that might be something to do. We'd have to be a time where we're in tune.
Yeah. What's a good woo time?
I have no idea, but we can find out.
That's true. You know why?
Why?
Because you cloak. That's why.
We can find out a good woo time. I don't think there really is a good woo time. I just think of whatever time is convenient for you to meditate and try to figure it out. But yeah, we can definitely, we'll try it as an experiment and see what happens and bring it back to our listeners.
See, people, we're trying to bring science to our woo.
Yeah, but no, definitely, I think reincarnation is a thing. Especially if the, you know, I like the idea of there being an afterlife, because like when she, like, you know, you know, she said, you know, cause I asked her, so you thought there was just nothing, darkness, just that was it. She's like, yeah, what else is there? I'm like, God, but that's, I just, that is such a downer, right?
that's a downer.
You know? So yeah, I like the idea of there being an afterlife. I like the idea of being greeted by your old loved ones and friends. I like the idea of feeling this complete bliss. I like all of that. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's gonna, right? You know? And that's nice.
Yeah.
Because it makes it all worth it.
Right? It sounds fantastic. So I like to believe that there is, in fact, an afterlife. And that it is, you know, from the things I've seen where people have had, you know, near-death experiences and stuff, yes, I would definitely like to believe them when they've said that they felt, you know, immense pleasure and bliss and, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm all for that.
And now I had someone ask me this question. They asked me if I thought near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences were the same thing. And I said no.
No,
because I've had out-of-body experiences. I've never had a near-death experience.
Right. I think you can leave your body and not necessarily be in danger of dying. Right.
Being on the I told her the definition. Wasn't it near-death, they have to be, like, officially...
Yeah, you're clinically dead. You're dead. And then you are resuscitated. You're out. You're done. And then, you know...
Sometimes, you know, like, 30 minutes... You know, you hear all these, you know, it's like, how are you dead for that long? And they
it's like the one movie that D'Angelo took me to where the little boy fell through the ice.
And he was underwater a long time, huh?
And he came back and had could never tell he was, because they said, you know, they didn't know what, he was going to brain damage or whatever. No, he was just fine. Yep, just fine.
That's crazy right there. That's crazy shit.
So yeah, I definitely believe in, you know, the whole afterlife thing, and it makes me feel better because I don't like to think of just being darkness, because that's like, so all of this was for just darkness. This is it.
This is the high life. Live it up.
You know,
live it up, girl.
Yeah. So I like to think that there's like an afterlife. So yeah, not a problem. Yeah.
Now we know.
Yeah. All right. And you know what? You can also go look at Afterlife, our old episodes. Get it, Afterlife.
Yeah.
On Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. I could have sworn there's one more. I don't think so. Maybe I got them all. Anyway.
Not Snapchat. I know that.
Go to any of those platforms and check out our social media. Check out old episodes and see that we are, you know, we've been around for 8 seasons. We've got some old episodes, people.
Yeah, we do. We got some longevity.
Yeah.
Now.
We've talked to some interesting folks.
You know what? Yeah, we have. And there's no way we would have met these people, Kel, without us doing this. No way.
Yeah.
How are we going to run into these people from Australia, you know, just walking around Salt Lake or Aurora area?
You're not. So it's been really cool to be able to connect with all these people. And guess what? Next week, we're connecting with yet another cool person.
You know what that's called, right?
A podcast? Guest?
A teaser.
Oh, a teaser. Well, it's called the podcast guest too.
It is.
You know, I say podcast guest for 500, Bob.
I'll go with teaser for the win.
But let's wrap it up, my friend.
All right, until next time, keep your minds open, people.